Giant turbines spinning off the coast of Montauk are bringing New Yorkers enough renewable electricity to power more than 70,000 homes and putting some wind in the sails of an industry that's been, frankly, in the doldrums. South Fork Wind, as it's known, is the country's first commercial-scale offshore wind farm. It officially opened last month. Another off Martha's Vineyard started delivering small amounts of electricity in January and is expected to open fully later this year. The United States has huge potential for offshore wind, but high costs and sometimes local opposition have set the industry back for a few years. Could 2024 be the year that changes all that? Let's ask Walt Musial. He's chief engineer of offshore wind research at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Walt, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The United States, as I said, has some of the best potential for offshore wind in the world. According to one study from Cal Berkeley, there could be enough to generate up to a quarter of the country's electricity by 2050. But until now, we've had five turbines off Rhode Island and nothing commercial scale. Why has it been so hard to get this far?
Well, all these projects are very expensive. Almost all of the commercial projects now are over $1 billion. And it takes many years to go through the regulatory process to get them approved and to get them financed and to get them built.
Do you think that 2024 is the year that things start to, I don't know, loosen up a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're going to start to see there's a project off south of Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard called Vineyard Wind. Vineyard Wind 1 is an 800-megawatt project. That project will exceed all of the existing operating capacity so far for offshore wind. And then following that, there are several others right on the heels that are being developed in the same region. Beyond the Northeast, we have projects that have been leased in areas all the way down to South Carolina.
Mm. As you said, these projects are expensive. There's a lot of regulatory issues that might take time to get through. But recently, the industry has also struggled with interest rates being high, inflation is high, supply chain disruptions. Do you think these problems that you've laid out and the ones that I just mentioned, are they temporary or something systemic?
Most of them are very temporary. What we saw, and unfortunately, just as the industry was starting to take off, COVID hit. And COVID resulted in a lot of supply chain disruptions, which resulted in a lot of high inflation in commodity prices. And that was the response to that was to raise interest rates. A lot of these projects that developed their power purchase and offtake agreements for selling the electricity into the utility grid, they developed those contracts before all that happened. And by the time they got regulatory approval, the projects were no longer viable under the contracting agreements that they had with the states. And so they had to renegotiate. So that's been a major source of the industry slowing down, but not stopping. We haven't seen any projects canceled. If anything, the states are doubling down on their commitments to build offshore wind plants and deliver offshore wind energy into their states.
What about floating turbines? I know California has been considering those off the Pacific coast where the water is too deep. What's the potential for that technology to open up the market?
Yeah, so the focus has been kind of in the easy to get Northeast. I wouldn't say easy, but easier. It's more similar to what's been done in Europe. But as you get into some of these other regions like the Pacific and the Gulf of Maine, the water is deeper and you can't fix the foundations to the bottom. So floating foundations are next kind of technology leap that we're going to make. And we think that floating technology is going to be very big, if not bigger than the fixed bottom technology, because there's a lot more places that you can put floating wind.
Why is Europe so far ahead of the United States with wind power?
That's a good question. And as far as offshore wind is concerned, Europe started their offshore wind industry probably 30 years ago. That's one big reason. And so they made the industry more lucrative for the developers who were just learning how to do this in the ocean. In the United States, we had this huge wealth of land-based wind in the middle of the country. And we focused on developing the resources in the Midwest. And now as climate change goals become more important and more urgent, the coastal areas are realizing that they don't have the room to put big wind plants in their state. They have to go extend their boundaries to the ocean. And that's where the best winds are. That's where they can meet their goals.
As you've laid out, these projects take a long time, and the White House is behind its goal of getting renewable wind energy. I mean, what's your sense of how important a role this will play in a clean energy future, especially because, you know, the sense from the scientists is time is of the essence, and we're falling behind.
Yep, absolutely. It's a big country, so each region has to be looked at individually. And in the Northeast, for example, in the United States, where we have high population densities, offshore wind is going to play a very big role. Most of the states that have committed to policy mandates for buying offshore wind are in the Northeast. There's 8 states that have mandates for purchasing offshore wind, and most of those states need it in order to meet their carbon reduction goals.
Walt Musial is chief engineer of offshore wind research at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Boulder, Colorado. Walt, thank you.
Thank you.